You see, a lot of people ask about if the time is right, when the time is right. Are you sure the time is right? Man, I'm here to tell you that it's no time like.
It's no time like the present, man. It is your boy, the host of the Sit Down Podcast, your boy Ray Phillips Jr., man. Welcome to the show. Hey, listen, man, this is episode, I think, like number 7 of season 2. Season 1 was a little shaky, but season 2, we are super duper consistent. And tonight, I am super excited because I have Miss Tamika McLean, right? Right, guys? She is an author. She is a youth self-sufficiency speaker. She is the CEO of Poppy Muse. And listen, guys, I'm not going to take up any more of her time. I'm going to let her introduce herself. Miss McLean, the floor is yours.
Hi, Ray. Thank you so much for the introduction and thank you for having me. I'm really excited about speaking with you this evening. So as Ray stated, my name is Tamika McLean and I am a speaker, author, and founder of Poppy Muse Incorporated. I founded Poppy Muse back in 2019, prior to the pandemic, to assist young women with the transitional process of aging out of foster care. And that has been my mission, and I'm looking forward to continuing to build the organization. I also wrote a book, published it back in 2021. The book is titled 11 Steps to Self-Sufficiency, Take Action by Taking the Steps. And that is me in a nutshell.
Wow. Well, we thank you for your introduction. So listen up, y'all. Y'all been rocking with me consistently for the last 6 weeks. So tonight's episode, we're going to switch it up just a little bit. So the very first question I have for you, Mrs. McLean, is how did you feel before coming to this interview?
I felt good. I felt excited. I'm curious to see what type of questions you're going to ask me. So I'm ready. I'm psyched.
Okay, I got you. So I typically ask that question like towards the end of the podcast, but tonight something said ask her now, because I just wanted to know the vibe. You know what I'm saying? I had to check the vibe. Vibe checks.
Okay.
So let me
I
ask
feel
this,
you.
Let me ask this question: what is one thing you would never change in yourself?
In myself. Good one. My ability to, I guess, heal from anything. You know, a lot of people struggle with getting over things and, you know, triumphing and getting past things. God has blessed me with the ability to get through things, get through different challenges, trials and tribulations. So I'm grateful that I have the ability to, you know, go through the process of introspection, healing oneself, and, you know, leaning on my spirituality to get me through things. So I would say that, my ability to heal oneself.
Okay, so let's dive just a little bit deeper into that question, right? So I told you I like to talk and, like, have conversations. So this question is actually not even on the list. But can you tell us, or if you don't mind sharing, let's unpack a time where you had to heal yourself, right? Because you spoke about the ability to heal oneself, right? What does that take? What does that look like?
Ooh, it is a lot of work, and sometimes it don't feel good, okay? Not too long ago, I had to get through what they call burnout. You know, being an entrepreneur, you know, you're wearing a lot of hats, especially when you are just starting out. And I'm working on quite a few different projects. As I stated before, I'm the founder of an organization. So that is where I'm wearing a lot of hats. I'm managing different teams, working on many different projects. It's just the organization itself. And then I have the book. And that is another project. And I'm a speaker now. So having to pretty much work day in and day out, putting in maybe like 80 hours a week, sometimes more than that. It's a lot. It's a lot on the mind. It's a lot on the body. It's a lot on, you know, a person's, you know, mental. So you have to eventually take a moment to stop, reflect, and pull yourself out of that burnout experience. So burnout for me was a shock, because with burnout, I experienced, like, for the first time ever, depression. A lot of people would say, oh, you know, that's normal, you know, but I grew up, you know, prior to entering foster care. I was in foster care for about 8 years. But prior to entering foster care, I came from somewhat of a religious background, where I was in the church fairly often. And for all my religious people, we believe that, well, not we, because I'm no longer religious, you know, spiritual, but for most religious people, they believe that when you have an issue, or when you are worried or stressed over anything, you give it to God, right? So once you give it over to God, there's no more stress. You don't have to really worry, right? So in that, I never saw myself being depressed, because all my problems would be handed over to God. So for the first time ever, I experienced depression. And I was like, oh, what is this? You know, like, I was very uncomfortable with that, and you know, trying to figure out what I was actually going through and putting a name to it, you know? So, you know, burnout and depression was an acute experience. So in that, you know, I just did what I normally do anytime that I'm going through something, and that is to lean on my spirituality. And when I do that, I pick up the Bible, I read scriptures, I pray, I meditate, I go out in nature, take a lot of nature walks. And, you know, this time around, while trying to get through this, I ended up speaking with a spiritual teacher, and then I got myself a life coach. And I did that because I didn't want to go back to burnout. You know, if I'm going to go through the whole process of healing myself, and, you know, doing the introspection work, doing the shadow work, and delving into the why, as to why I got myself to that place of burnout, it took a lot of work. And I felt that I needed to do what I needed to do to not get myself back there. And reaching out for help really got me to a better place, you know. So not only did I do the work myself prior to, you know, seeking help, I also did the work to make sure I never get back there again, you know.
Go back one more time where you just said it. Prior to reaching out for help, what did you do?
The work that I did was I picked up my Bible, got closer to God for the most part. I picked up my Bible, but got closer to God. Yeah, got closer to God, you know. So read my scriptures, prayed, meditated, even, you know, listened and watched different sermons, and, you know, went out in nature and just did a lot of introspection work, you know.
I gotcha. So, you know, you begin to speak about depression, right? And it is so prevalent. As a matter of fact, I'm writing a book right now called Navigating Through the Darkness, Pushing Past Yourself, right? Because...
All right, Ray. And, I see you.
In this June of last year, my wife and I, we moved from Pennsylvania to North Carolina. And I got into a space where I'd never been before, right? And in December, it got really, really, really dark. Into a space where I took myself... to a space mentally where I usually take all of like anything that I'm dealing with and I kind of like decompress it into that space. But this time it was so dark that there were people still around, but I couldn't see them, right? I could hear them, but I couldn't see them. Mm. And I'm like, hey, can you help? Can you help? Can you help? And this was mentally. And nothing was working until one day. I'm in my room and I just got finished working and I'm pacing back and forth and I just began to speak and I felt like I was losing my mind. Like it was the first time in my life where I felt like I was losing my mind. And my wife, she called our apostle and he called me and we prayed and I kind of snapped out for a moment, right? I snapped out of it for a moment. And then it wasn't until I taught Bible study, I had an opportunity to teach Bible study, I taught it where I began to profess the freedom over my life. I began to profess the chains breaking. And that's when I realized, hey, the only way to get past what you're dealing with is if you profess that you're free, right? Because there is power in the tongue, right? There is power in the tongue. It's either life or death, right? So if we speak life over ourselves, we will free ourselves. And I had a freeing moment, and I spoke with one of my spiritual sisters a few weeks ago, maybe about 2 weeks ago now, and she put the language to it. She said, Ray, you were dealing with depression. And we in our culture and our community, we don't want to talk about depression, right? Because that makes us look weak. The language is put to it, we're able to, like you said, self-heal. We're able to begin to declare things over our life as if it was and be able to move forward in that thing. So when you brought it up, I had to share that with you because to let you know that you were not alone in that, and that more people, you know, mental health for me, it was never like on my forefront because I always felt like I was super strong. I always felt like I was able to deal with whatever that life threw at me until mental health became something that I had to deal with. So if there's anybody that's listening to this, that's dealing with something in your mental, get help. Talk to somebody. Be a listening ear. Yeah. Call me and we can have a conversation. Yeah. Okay.
Call me too.
Call Ms. McClain too. Absolutely.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Ray, for sharing that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Very powerful.
So we're gonna change it up just a little bit.
All right.
Just a little bit. What is the funniest thing or the funniest story in your life?
Oh goodness gracious. Oh man. The funniest story in my life. Ooh, Ray. I don't know. We may have to come back to that one.
Okay. So we just, the last, I believe it was two episodes ago, we had I had a guest on, and she was like, Ray, you have to add a pass button, but they only get one pass. I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. So this is your only pass. This is your only pass of the night. I never do this, but this is your only pass of the night.
Oh man, and how many more questions we got to go?
Probably like seven.
Oh man.
I'll make it easy. No worries. I'll make it easy.
Okay.
How would you describe yourself in one word?
Ooh. I would say triumphant.
Okay. You only get one word though, so don't try to elaborate. Just one word. Triumphant. Okay. I like it. So let's talk about a time when you had to be triumphant, right? And what was the outcome of that?
Oh man. Listen. I feel like that's like almost an everyday thing. You know, in a way, when I started the organization, you know, I was doing it alone. There was not a lot of people doing what I was doing and where I was doing it. I started the organization in Pelham, New York. Pelham, New York is predominantly a Caucasian town, and I was a young 38-year-old African-American woman starting a nonprofit organization, which was an all-girls foster care agency, the first all-girls foster care agency in Pelham, New York. And to start it and seek the support that I needed and not have it was hard, you know? So having to start the organization, figure out the how, where do I get the support? Where do I get the help? And not having that was really hard. But I got through that and I eventually, you know, started to find myself in the position where once I got out in the community, started speaking to people, getting the word out there, networking, showing up for myself, for the organization, for the mission. Next thing you know, just random people just started coming to me And that was nothing but God's word. You know, I felt like once I partnered up with God and had that conversation with him, like, look, I can't do this by myself. So I'm asking you, Father, can you partner with me? You know, and in doing so, people just started coming in. I was capable of building my board. I was capable of, you know, finding facilitators to facilitate the programs and workshops. And then, you know, getting assistance with fundraising. So everything eventually came together. So that was a tough experience, and I had to, you know, triumph through the challenges of starting a nonprofit organization, you know, by myself.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. You said something that stuck out, and it surely was a message, right?
Message!
You said, and you didn't say it exactly, but this is what I heard. You said, once I remove self and I allow God to be the pilot, people and things started to fall into place for me. So I didn't want the listeners to miss that point. Because once we remove ourselves from the equation and we go to the Father, although he already knows what we need, he just needs to hear us say it sometimes. But you said something else that was very, very key. You said, I can't do it myself. Then he began to create a team for you to help you to move forth with the vision, right? You know, we said something, my business partner and I have a landscaping business back home. We said, you know, you can go fast all by yourself, right? But you go farther and you can spread out wider when you have a team around. And God knew that you needed a team, but he was waiting for you to call upon him and let him know, hey, yo, I can't do this, dog. Help me, please help me. Yep. Somebody come help me, please.
And he showed up.
So that is very key. Oh, yeah, and congratulations on that. You know, being, you know, the first person, I think, I was doing a little bit of research. I think you're the first person in the country to start an all-girls foster care. I'm pretty sure that's what my research showed me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, a couple more. Well, we got some time. So, and I was looking. So I told you what the signature question was, but I was wrong because in my notes I got it written down. So that one's not even the signature question. But I'm pretty sure that even if I ask you the signature question without you knowing it, you're going to be able to answer it. With flying colors, because of I can hear what it is already, but I want the listeners to hear it come from you and let you articulate it. Okay, so let's talk about the morning time, right? So, like, you are an entrepreneur, right? And if you look all over the internet, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, people are telling you what it is that you should be doing with your mornings if you're an entrepreneur, right? And you can't see me because we're not on video, but I'm giving you air quotes. What you should be doing, air quotes, with your mornings, right? But what is one thing that Miss McLean can't start her morning without?
Okay. A few things, but one thing is prayer. There's more, though. I have a whole process now. So, but yeah, prayer is definitely.
Okay.
I would say number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got you. I like it. Okay. No, we're not going to go there. This podcast is about you. This ain't about me. So I'm not going to keep interjecting. But let's ask the next one, right? So how much did you change from a year ago?
Oh goodness. I've changed quite a bit. I've always been calm, chill, laid back. But I see life differently. It's really a blessing. And a lot of people take life for granted. And I feel like as I've gotten closer to God within this past year, I feel like my prayers are being answered quicker. I feel like my days are more, I feel good, like better each day. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like overall I am a happier person. And I think that shows through my work even more. I think it shows, you know, when I'm just speaking to people naturally. Yeah. So overall, I would say within the last year, I've changed quite a bit in good ways.
Understood. I got you.
And I became more focused too. More focused. Definitely more focused, more organized. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. So you spoke.
Right?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Oh, okay. I don't know why this keeps doing it, but, so you spoke about people taking their lives for granted. And again, I was one, but I'm going to make a long story very, very short. I was diagnosed, mm-hmm. not diagnosed, but I guess it would be diagnosed. So I was diagnosed with COVID. In December of 2021. And that was, you know, that was not as bad as I expected it to be. Right. But then I got up and I began to kind of run fast again, doing the things that I was doing. And, then I was diagnosed 2 weeks later with pneumonia, and pneumonia I thought was going to take me out. Right. I thought that was going to be the end of Ray. But in that time, God showed me how important my breath was, right? The thing that we don't even acknowledge when we awake, the first breath, we don't acknowledge it, right? Because it's something that happens so naturally. And what I understood during that time is that every second that I breathe, I have to thank God. Why? Because there are people who did not survive either COVID or pneumonia that did not survive, but he gave me another chance to keep pushing. So that's why I don't take life for granted. And maybe I was taking life for granted before, but now I don't take life for granted because I know that my breath could be taken away from me at any moment. At any moment. So moving along. We're going to switch.
Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. So let's switch it up just a little bit. Let's just switch it up just a little bit. Okay. So,
okay.
What would be the title of the book about you if your worst enemy wrote it?
My worst enemy wrote it. Mm. Oh. I don't think about my enemies. I don't give them attention.
Okay. I like it.
You know, listen, I don't give them attention. Like,
okay, so let's switch it up.
So, yeah.
What would be the title of the book if your best friend wrote it?
She did that.
I like it. She did that. We're going to look out for that title, y'all. We're going to look out for that title. She Did That, authored by Tamika McLean. Look out for that, y'all. Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, anywhere you can buy books. I can promise it'll be out by the end of the summer. I got y'all. okay, so if you won $10 million tomorrow, what would you spend it on?
See, I'm always creating and doing things. So I would... the first thing I would do, I'm always thinking about building. So I would probably want to build a compound so that I could serve more individuals, more constituents. So that would probably be one of my first thing to do. And then after doing that, I would, you know, take care of my personal needs and make sure that everybody around me was good.
That's awesome. Because a guy like me? No, I'm just kidding.
Huh?
No, I said because a guy, I said that was good, but a guy like me, I would take $10 million and I would. I like the count, the compound idea, because I'm the oldest of 17 kids, so I would definitely build it out where all my siblings could live, and then my mother, my stepmother, my father, they could all live, and my in-laws, they can come and live as well, and then we could just live separately, but all together, so that we weren't all, you know, super spread out and apart. But that's what I would do. That'll with $10 million.
I like that.
Okay. So, so you're a speaker now, right? You're an author. So tell me, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word? Jeez Louise. my favorite word.
So I'll give you mine
first.
You want to go? You could go.
I was going to say the first thing that came to mind is easy, it's simple, and that's freedom.
There it is. That actually doesn't even need an explanation. I mean, it could get an explanation, and you can definitely explain it. Because freedom is different for everybody, right? Somebody's freedom may be money coming into their bank account while they're sleeping, right? They're getting deposits while they're sleeping so that they can go out and shop or do whatever that looks like. Freedom for other people might just be being able to enjoy their family whenever they want to enjoy their family. So if you want to explain why freedom is your favorite word, you can go ahead.
Freedom because, you know, two things. Freedom to, like you said, spend time with family and friends. Freedom of the mind to where you're not always having to focus on, you know, the day-to-day, you know. You know, of course, financial freedom. Yeah, that's it. Girl.
Okay. No, see, the favorite word could have just been freedom. That's it, Ray. I'm not saying anything else. But we thank you for elaborating on what freedom means to you. Definitely thank you for that. Okay, so my next question for you, and we only have about three or four more questions. I got to give you a, just to let you know how many we got so you know that I'm not going to keep asking, So we want three or four left. So the next question I have for you is what would you never dare to do no matter what the reward was?
First of all, I would never dare take anybody's life. Yeah, never that. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay, I like it. All right, so now we're gonna switch some other things up, but it's gonna be real easy. So, if you could change one thing in this world, what would it be?
First thing that comes to mind is homelessness.
Yes, that's very near and dear to me as well. And as a matter of fact, now I'm sitting here thinking about it, I wouldn't even put my family on a piece of land. I think with that $10 million, I would build a homeless shelter, but not just a shelter, but a place where they can live for a year or 2 years. But I would help reacclimate them into society. They wouldn't have to get out at 6 a.m. and come in by 6 p.m., but they would have some stipulations and things like that that they would have to follow in order to be reacclimated into society and be upstanding citizens. And it may sound like I thought about that once or twice because I have it written down somewhere. But as I think about it, yes, yes, indeed, that's what it would be for me.
Homelessness is crazy. I see it with the youth that we serve, and the youth that we serve are from 18 to 26 years old and beyond that. Mm. And when they transition out of foster care, they're fearful. Some of them are fearful for their lives because they don't know where to go, who to turn to. And some of them, they'll start off okay, and then they'll end up back on the street without shelter because they don't know how to manage or live their lives in a way where they can sustain themselves. So that's why, our organization was established to help them gain self-sufficiency, over time so that they don't have to worry about facing homelessness or being hungry or not having, and again, the reason why I would want to build a compound is so that we can help more young women and eventually men sustain themselves.
Well, that's good. So remember I said, kind of the signature question. We're almost there. We got two more questions, and then I'll ask that signature question. But you are really unpacking the signature question already. But I think people are going to miss it until you actually articulate what it actually is. But I just wanted to keep giving you a little bit of prefaces so you can keep jogging your memory.
Okay.
I got you.
I appreciate it.
All right. So the next question is, what's one thing you will continue doing no matter what?
Loving. No matter what. A lot of people don't know what it's like to be loved. And I feel like I've been blessed with the ability to give it, regardless of whether a person receives it or not. Loving others is what I would do forever. Never stop doing it.
No matter what. Hey guys, go back about 10 seconds and check out that
message.
I think that's what the world is missing. It's missing unconditional love, the love that only God can give us, right? Because no matter how much, we're in relationships and, business relationships and marriage relationships and relationships with our parents and things like that, there's always a condition to how we love. But what you said was so key is I just want to show people how to be loved the right way. And I'll never stop doing that. So y'all go back and check. I think that was at like 32:30 or something like that. Go ahead and check that out at 32 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay, so two questions. This is going to be a question, and then you're going to talk about the last question, which is the signature question. But the question, this next question is there a question you wish to ask me today?
What made you start this podcast?
Oh, that's easy. So the reason why I started to sit down with Ray Phillips Jr. Is because I'm from a small, it's a small town right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's called Sharon Hill, Pennsylvania. I grew up in a county called Delco. We called it Delco, but it was Delaware County. And the one thing that I noticed about the community in which I was from is that there were so many people, unique people who had dreams, who had aspirations, who ran businesses, who I thought were celebrities, never had an opportunity to tell their story, right? So I started to sit down podcast with Ray Phillips Jr. to give everyday people the ability to tell their story through the interview questions that I get to ask them and they never get to see, right? So what that does for the podcast is that it allows it to be vulnerable. It allows it to be authentic. It allows it to be transparent, and it allows it to be sincere, right? Because just like yourself, people don't get the questions. The only question that they typically get is the signature question, the question that I ask everybody, and it gives them the opportunity to to kind of sit on it and make sure. However, just like yourself, most people talk about what I'm going to ask the last question. Most people talk about it the whole time throughout the podcast, but the listeners don't catch it until the end, and then it brings it all back full circle. So I started this podcast to give everyday people a voice. That's why I started it.
I love it. I love it. Beautiful. Thank you. That was a selfless act.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And plus, I like You're talking welcome. And talking to people. So it's kind of like it's easy. And the one thing. So this season, season two. So season one was people that I knew. Right. People in my community, people who I could see at any given time. Right. So I'm sitting here in North Carolina, and I'm like, well, God, I want to start to sit down with Ray Phillips Jr. And I have a list of people who I can interview. I said, but I just don't feel like that's a good move. And he says, so interview strangers. And I said, wait, what? He said, interview strangers. So I had just entered into the Need a Guest group on Facebook, and he was like, post it. I said, all right, cool. So I posted it. And my first post, I got like 60 responses. I had 8 people scheduled. Only 6 of them showed up, but that's okay. Nonetheless, but right. Mm-hmm. I had a lot, you know, we began to talk, and what I have had the opportunity to learn, from people who I've never met, right? You and I, we've never met. As a matter of fact, the only conversation we had was prior to us hitting the record button. That's the only conversation right. we had. So I have an opportunity to learn about people, learn about their situations, learn how they've overcome some traumas, right? Learn how they have the ability to self-heal, right? I wouldn't have never known that just by looking at your Facebook post or your Facebook profile picture or reading or going onto the internet and doing my research on who you are. So being able to have these conversations with strangers, I think is strategic that God has done that, because it's allowing me to understand that not only is there other people in the world, but they're dealing with similar situations that you had to come through in the last year. And they're able to give you more language to the things that you had to deal with. So I'm grateful for it. I love interviewing strangers. And I don't think that mm-hmm. I'll ever go back full time to interviewing those who I know. Now, will I interview them? Absolutely. There's a guy in season 2, and I think he's episode number 2. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's episode number 2. And he was a mentor, or he still is a mentor to me, from Delaware County, from where I'm from. And we still talk, you know, every now and again. But I interviewed him for the first time on the podcast, and that was a dope interview. That was a very, very good interview. So, yes. I truly love it. Now, I talk too much, so let me stop.
Well, right, no, keep going, man. Like, I mean, you're giving people a platform to, you know, share their stories and to potentially help heal somebody else, you know? So this is God's work you're doing, so.
Well, I thank you.
That's awesome.
That. Okay, so this is the last question I got for you, okay? This mm-hmm. is the signature question.
All right.
And it is, drum roll. I got to get a drum roll button. I don't have one. so we're just going to do it. Okay. What's the meaning of life for you?
The meaning of life? Meaning of life. You know, sometimes it's hard to just answer with just one answer, you know. The meaning of life to me means to live selflessly. I said it not too long ago. I'm speaking to you just now. Just to live selflessly. To act from a place of kindness. A lot of people don't realize when you are living life selflessly, a lot of the times that energy you give comes back to you.
Message.
You know, and when you're living selflessly, I feel like I'm closer to God in a way, because God and Jesus, they were selfless, you know. They, you know, lived and worked for the people, you know, and That's what I intend to do.
No, I like that. I do. Selflessness. And that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother time. You're welcome to come back on and we could talk about selflessness on a whole nother podcast. But we would be on this thing for a few hours if we really broke down what it meant and what it looked like. Okay, so listen, guys, the audience and those who listen faithfully all, I don't even know how many people listen. I have to go back and check my analytics. But for those who have been following us for the last 6 weeks, we thank you on behalf. Well, I thank you for, you know, tuning in and just giving your ear to my guests who have been on thus far. But this is not the last that you will hear of Miss Tamika McLean. Miss Tamika, can you tell, or Miss McLean, can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Yes, Ray. So you can find me on IG at Tamika McLean. You can look me up on Facebook at Tamika McLean. And you can, you know, check out our organization's website at www.poppymuse.org. You can also check out my speaker and book page at 11stepstoself.com as well. And yeah, feel free to check me out. And you can also purchase the book on Amazon.com. And again, the book is titled 11 Steps to Self-Sufficiency. Take action by taking a step.
Take actions by taking a step. Not by sitting on your couch, twiddling your thumbs, playing your video games, getting your nails done and your hair did. She said, taking action by taking a step. A step.
Yep, sir.
A step. That was a message. Man, that was good. Because, okay, before I let you go, I just want to say why that was so good to me. Because you spoke earlier in the podcast about how when you removed yourself, right, and you asked God for help, right, you didn't just sit down. You took action. You continued to do what you needed to do in the natural so that God would show up in the supernatural, right? He met you where you were. Why? Because you took action by taking a step. I'm trying to.
There you go.
That's mind blowing. Y'all gonna have to listen to the whole podcast in order to catch that one.
Good.
The whole podcast to catch that one. Okay, so listen, y'all. That is another episode of the Sit Down with Ray Phillips Jr. The podcast, man. Go check it out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Go check it out on Spotify. I need some viewers on Spotify, some subscribers or whatever you call those things on Spotify. Go check me out on Spotify. Leave a review, leave a like, and share with somebody. If this message today has blessed you, share it with somebody else because somebody else needs to get free from our guests tonight, Miss McLean. Yes. Somebody else can get free from her. Listen, man. Go check out my book on Amazon. It's called The 31-Day Motivation by Raymond Phillips. Go ahead and check that out. Man, it's only $10. Go get it. It's $10. Support your boy. Okay. I support y'all. Go support me. So the track that you guys heard in the beginning is the track that you guys will hear at the end. Go check it out on Apple Music, Spotify, all those good places. And if you need a voiceover, just give me a call.
234. Just continue on. Continue on. Continue on. Live in the moment. Because the moment is all that you have.